really for the last 7 days, has been on Louisiana Tech, and so now it's our opportunity to preview that, obviously with the game being here in 4 days. It's going to be a very difficult challenge just because of the nature of the game. You know, obviously when you take a team that you haven't ever played before, or when they have a new coaching staff, you're not seeing any of their players in the new schemes that they're going to be running. Have a lot of respect for their head coach and Sonny Cumbie. Obviously did a heck of a job last year in very difficult circumstances at Texas Tech. Is going to provide a spark not only with his energy and personality to that football team and interject that, but also with his offensive acumen. He's had great offenses and led great offenses, and so you know that they're going to be dynamic on offense. They've got 6 returning starters. Obviously, their transfer quarterback, Matthew Downing, has spent years underneath Coach Cumbie in that offensive system, so he comes in ready to go. They have a dynamic slot receiver named Smoke Harris, who also handles the return duties. That is going to be a very difficult challenge for us in our scheme. On the defensive side of the ball, Scott Power is our defensive coordinator that came from Stephen F. Austin. Have watched a lot of the film from last season. Does a tremendous job with both his first and second down pressures and base defense, and then has a unique third down pressure package. He has a lot of variety and does a really nice job of mixing up his calls. And so, you know, we're going to have to execute at a high level to have a chance. Special teams coordinator came from TCU, and so again, you're having to try to filter through what your best guess is. So for us, it's going to be a matter of us executing what we do best at a high level, really tapping into our DNA, and then reacting to what their changeups are to us. Released the depth chart today. Should give us a better feel. You know, our goal going into camp was to establish a 22 deep, and we felt like we've done that, so we wanted to release that today as we get started. So with that, I think I have no other major announcements. I'll open it up for questions.
With Sonny, obviously the background being Tech and that kind of air raid system, I mean, how much of that does he do, and how much difference, you know, how much harder is it when he's doing it at a new school with different personnel to know exactly what to prepare for?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous challenge for the defense side of the ball. Last year, they were more of a 12 personnel air raid style system, and he had put a unique spin on it based off the talents that they had and what they were recruiting towards, and we're unsure of what Louisiana Tech has. We do know they have good players. You know, the record last year wasn't indicative of how close they were. I mean, they were a one-point game, Mississippi State, one possession game versus North Carolina State, and got beat on a Hail Mary by SMU, which totally changes that season for them. They're not going to be intimidated to play us. They're not going to think they don't belong on this football field. And so for us, it's a little bit, we're a little bit on our heels as far as trying to figure out what they are going to try to accomplish against us. Yeah, first, just thank the administration for understanding that this season, you know, was going to be is a challenge regardless. But we, you know, had we not moved this game, we were fixing to have 3 of our first 4 on the road in 4 of our first 6, which I think would have been very unique for an SEC team to have that type of schedule. You know, scheduling should be an advantage. You should use scheduling as an advantage, whether that advantage is to help you whatever advantage you can to win games, or advantage in recruiting. And so being able to have our own platform on Thursday night to be one of whatever 7 to 8 games that are our Thursday night, you know, we're going to be able to have a focal point on us. Now it's up to us and our program to take advantage of that and to present who we want to be, what our identity for the 2022 Mizzou Tigers is going to be. And so we're going to have to be ready and prepared and own the moment. Yeah, I mean, I guess it could. I think the assumption is that it's I think what it does is it puts your talent in space and creates one-on-one matchups. I don't necessarily think it covers any deficit up. I think that's the misnomer about that scheme. I mean, there's some really talented players that play in the air raid schemes. But again, I think it just it creates space, and they utilize all 53 and a third yards wide. And they're trying to win in a different manner. The one misnomer about what Coach Cumby does offensively is he has a quarterback-driven run game that he's involved that they use. Last year, again, he used 12 personnel quite a bit to create matchups and mismatches in the run game and the quarterback runs, and still has the RPO game.
Eli, your running game, what's the help there in your backfield? And do you have any clarity on how you're going to use guys or what your approach is going to be with more of a committee approach as opposed to Bailey?
Yeah, I mean, fall camp, Nate has been dealing with a couple of soft tissue injuries, and we're hopeful that we're past it, but don't know that he would be available for 100% of the carries. Cody Schrader's been the most consistent player for us throughout camp. And Elijah Young has proven that he can do it on this stage. So those three guys will be our three primary backs, whoever, I guess, so to speak, gets the hot hands. Or hot legs, I guess, would be the guy that's going to continue on. You know, each have their own strengths and things that they do well, and so we'll play to those strengths until we feel like one has kind of shown that they can handle the whole load. Doesn't mean that the other guys on the depth chart won't get in. It's just those will be the three primary as we get going.
In a perfect world, how much of the playbook do you want to put on tape this week?
100%. Whatever it takes to win. I have no other concept other than being 1-0 this week. Again, I said it, you only are guaranteed one opportunity. Whether you're a coach or a player, you have no idea your next game. You're only as good as this next performance. And so we ain't worried about anything past Thursday night. Our sole focus, energy, concentration, everything we got ready to roll. And the best thing that we've been able to do through fall camp is prepare in that manner, but have all of our game-ending scenarios ready to go. Gotta have it calls. You know, what's our gotta have it call here? What's our end-of-game call here? So we're prepared for those situations, and they're all up. Everything's up. They're a really good football team, a really tough football team to prepare for. I don't know how good any football teams are right now, but they're a very difficult challenge for us to prepare for because, again, we don't know what kind of schemes they're really going to utilize. We have no film. Their defensive coordinator, the only positive we have is that their two starting corners transferred from Stephen F. Austin, so we can watch Stephen F. Austin tape and say, okay, these are the two corners. But other than that, I mean – It's hard to know.
I think you talked before about the kind of the unknown of week one for everybody, but how long does that element of surprise or unknown last in a game before both sides kind of settle in and say, okay, we have a feel for what?
Yeah, I think the first quarter. I think you kind of go in with a game plan in the first quarter, and then you figure out what the game is going to settle into the second and third quarter, and the fourth quarter is a standalone. You got to figure out how you're going to win the game in the fourth quarter. It always takes a life of its own. But the first quarter is really where you figure out if what you game plan for is what really is. And if it is, great. And if it's not, then throw it out the window and let's go the second and third quarter. I think you saw it yesterday in college football. You know, there were several games. You know, UConn was up 14-0 on Utah State, and it took them a little bit to settle in and then pulled away. You know, Wyoming, Illinois was there tight for a little bit, and then Illinois was able to exert themselves. The Northwestern-Nebraska game was kind of a Nebraska tilt until the third, fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's the nature of college football. I think we all have to understand that when you're playing an opponent, how everybody views it's going to go in their mind may not be how it goes in the game. And so as a player, we got to focus on the only thing that we can control, which is to be 1-0 and focus on a this play mentality. The only thing that matters is not the final score of the previous play. It's this play. What do I do on this play? How did I play on this play? How do I perform on this play? And, go from there.
Yeah, there are a lot of wars at all three receiver divisions.
Really? You notice that, huh?
Yeah, you guys assist at multiple spots.
Mm-hmm.
How have those guys been looking in camp? How much do you think you can rotate them?
Yeah, I feel very good about our top six wide receivers. I really do. I really don't think there's like a set starter at any of those. I think any one of those six can go in and win their matchup and execute the offense at a high level. And I think Brady's got a lot of confidence to throw into all six of those guys. And so I think it's, again, since I've been here, it's as deep and as consistent a group as we've had. And it's as reliable a group from knowing the offense, being able to win, and then being able to finish the play. And so very excited about that room, and quite honestly, you're going to have to lean on that room.
Eli, you touched on this a little bit last time we talked to you about the preparation going into that Thursday night game. I'm just wondering if you can expand on that. Just how different it looks going into that Thursday night game.
You think it's Sunday, I think it's Tuesday. So it's not that different for us. Today's a Tuesday for us. Tomorrow's a Wednesday. Then it's Thursday. Then it's Friday. Then it's Saturday. And so when our guys walk in today, they're thinking we're Toughness Tuesday. They know what to expect from what's going in today, what we're practicing, what's the team meeting going to be like. They're in a routine. So that's the difference is, you know, we counted backwards. So instead of it being a Saturday, it's a Thursday. We'll be in the hotel a little bit longer than normal, but it'll be like a Saturday night game for us. So we'll be ready to rock and roll.
Eli, the tight end room looks a lot different this year, obviously. What have you seen from Tyler Stevens since he came in that kind of earned him that starting role?
Yeah, I think it's Tyler Orcabet. But, you know, I think Tyler came in the spring. He's got an established he's played college football quite a bit. He was a little bit slowed up in the spring because of a high ankle sprain, and I think only got to practice about four times. So his consistency over the summer, he was a little bit slow in the development process, maybe the first five practices, but really turned it on. And you can tell he's just more and more comfortable not only in what we're asking him to do in the blocking scheme, but also in the route running. Him and Kibet have different strengths, but both of them have great length as far as creating matchups for us in the pass game. And we look forward to utilizing those things. So,
these spots where you do have the oar, is it something that you're evaluating the next few days in practice, or do you have a pretty good idea of what you'll do Thursday night, and then what happens Thursday affects weeks two, three, all that?
I mean, I feel like we have a pretty good idea of how it's going to go for Thursday. I think we've settled that into practice. There's always opportunities for people to continue to improve and put that on display. But, you know, the game of college football very rarely plays 11 guys on either side of the ball. And so it's to make sure that they understand you may not go out there first, but you're going to play and you need to know and have your responsibilities. And I mean, this day and age with the transfer portal, it's more is better, you know. And so you just want to make sure everybody feels like and knows that they're a part of what we're trying to accomplish. Everybody on our team has a role. You know, there's guys that aren't listed on that depth chart that have just as important role in today's practice for us winning Thursday night than Isaiah McGuire and Trajan Jeffcoat. I mean, we've got to get a great look down there at scout team. And so Makai Lee and Trenton Cedarwall and Val and Tristan, I mean, they've got a Curtis Peeler. They got to go down there and give us a great look. Otherwise, we're not going to be prepared. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball. You know, like Serrano, Jack Meyer. I mean, if those guys come in there with a ho-hum attitude about, man, I'm on scout team, man, bull crap, man, your role is vital to us. And everybody has a role to play in us winning and losing the game. And that's whether it's Molly or myself, we're all going to have to do our part in order for us to play at the best level that we can to be 1-0.
When you mentioned the portal in that answer, I mean, obviously the best guy plays, but how different is it? It, like, does that factor into, hey, we got to make sure to get this guy a little bit of time?
No, because at the end of the day, I don't factor in I've got to get anybody in. If you give something that they haven't earned, it cheapens them. They got to earn it, okay? They got to earn it. And at the end of the day, I got to lay my head on the pillow at night knowing however it turned out, I'm comfortable with it. And I wouldn't be comfortable if I just gave somebody something that they hadn't earned. And I don't think our brotherhood would be comfortable with that either. You know, we all understand that the number one core value is always compete to be better today than we were yesterday and always compete to do it better than we've done it before. And so we're not happiness camp. This ain't everybody gets a trophy. This is college football and the SEC, the best of the best. And if you earn it, you're going to get an opportunity to play. And sometimes you earn it and you're not the starter, but you've earned an opportunity to play and get out there.
have a chance to be able to set the tone in games and then by extension help you guys offensively in that way?
Man, this is a new year, new team. I don't know. What we did last year wasn't clearly good enough, so it's an opportunity for us to define who we want to be moving forward. You know, so whether or not we have experience or not, it really doesn't matter. We have a chance Thursday to set our identity, and there's I don't have a good feeling that says, oh, okay, this is what's going to be on either side of the ball. Like, this is a clean slate, and it's a great opportunity for us to go paint that canvas. And whatever happened last year happened last year on both sides of the ball. And what you did last year doesn't earn you anything this year. La Tech don't care, you know. And so I really don't care either. I hope that they can, but I'm we'll let them paint that picture on Thursday night.
You know, you say all the time that the play doesn't care who makes it.
Yeah.
But when you look at Luther and what you've seen from him, what kind of impact is he capable of having early?
I think, again, we've got to be careful of how much expectation we put, hype we put on this young man. He's incredibly talented. God's given him an ability to play the game at a high level. He's got a great competitive spirit. But if there's too much pressure on him or too much pressure to get him the ball, the quarterback's forcing the ball into places that it shouldn't go. I go back to what you said. The play don't care who makes it. The quarterback's got to distribute the ball. And the great thing about the way we're wired right now offensively, I have confidence in all five skill positions that they can win their matchup. And if the play call is designed in such a way and they play the defense in such a way the ball goes to Luther, I'm very confident he's going to make a play. But I'm just as confident that Toski Dove, Chance Looper, Mookie Cooper, Barrett Bannister, and Dominic Lovett can make the play too when it's their opportunity. So the quarterback doesn't have to go out there and say, oh man, I got to get the ball to Luther. No, he got to make the right play with the ball based on what he's either attacking or the weakness of the defense.
Let me ask about the back of the quarterback, how you can play against these certain situations.
A lot of oars on that one too, wasn't there? I mean, it could potentially, like at the offensive line, you know, we've got oars behind it, but really, you know, we have a plan in place really for both tackle positions. You know, it's not necessarily about the next guy up. It's about putting the next best player in place. And so there really could be some musical chairs on the offensive line should somebody go down as far as sliding some people here or there. And we've done that throughout fall camp. Yeah, I mean, he's dynamic, got great short area quickness. He's got a competitive spirit to him. He makes people miss both in the return game and at the slot receiver. You just have to anticipate that the way the air raid system works and they're able to get guys touches, that they're going to, you know, they're going to utilize him, whether or not it's choice routes or vertical routes or across the middle. They're going to try to match him up against linebackers to get him the ball in space. And we've got to do a good job of denying that. They're also going to use him in the RPO game to try to replace linebackers. Linebackers are fitting, and he's behind them. So we got to have great eye discipline and make sure our third level's exactly where it's supposed to be.
With Tavoris Jones not being listed at running back, is he not healthy yet or just hasn't been healthy enough to really get himself in shape?
Yeah, Tavoris got back last week. Tuesday was really his first practice since his soft tissue injury. He's doing everything he can to get caught up. Doesn't mean he wouldn't play, but right now he's not factored into the first set of the game plan. Again, really, really talented, disappointed that happened. And he's going to be a factor at some point. We just got to get him used to the speed. He's never had a carry, live carry. He's had one live carry. He pulled his hamstring. So we're going to have to get him some live carries before I trust, you know, handing him the football in front of I'm sure there are. Yeah, I'm sure there are. Haven't really addressed it yet. We'll address it Wednesday night. You know, I think the transfers, they've played a lot of college football. It'll be a different experience for them, obviously, running out of Faroe and being in front of our fans. But, you know, once the ball's kicked, I think they'll settle in now, you know. The good thing about our starting quarterback is he's played, you know, got the bowl start, played against Georgia, played against South Carolina. So, I think he'll have confidence, but you know, it's going to be different having 60,000 fans knowing that they have your Twitter handle. So it'll be an interesting deal. We all going to have to deal with it.
Last
mentioned 60,000. Just how closely, I know you've got way more concerns at this point, how close are you paying attention to what that crowd will look like, the numbers?
You know, if I'm being honest, we've done a lot. I mean, I spoke at the IFC. I think it's IFC. Yeah, IFC this morning. You know, to all the brand new Greek Life members to try to rile them up to be here. Went to a Res Life pep rally on Friday night. I mean, we're doing everything we can to start fast, and it starts with our students. You know, we have 7,500 student tickets, and for me, you know, I've shot my mouth off a lot in the last 2 years, but for me, it's really about let's have the best student section first. If we can get, you know, we got 30,000 or 25,000 students that go to school here. If we get all 25,000 to come to the game, we'll have a great atmosphere, and then it'll spread from there. So for me, that's my focus, is how do we get our students here? How do we make sure that they have a great experience and want to come and create an unbelievable atmosphere on a Thursday night? And then our team will do its part to continue that momentum. But I mean, once we get here on Thursday, I'm not going to worry about it at all. You got to kind of eliminate that factor. But I am trying to partner with our athletic department to do our very best to get our fans engaged. I did, yeah. I did it Friday on radio on accident, but that's okay. Yeah, Sean Ketting. You know, it was really close, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Jack Stonehouse. It just, the consistency of when we said the last 4 days were going to determine it. Sean had the better and most consistent of those 4 days, and he had earned it. You know, and so we'll take it, you know, right now he's our starting punter and have all the confidence that he's going to go out there and perform at a high level. But, you know, just like at the quarterback position, feel capable that if it's not going the way it needs to go, we've got somebody there who's very good.
You expect to give Luther and Chris both the chance on return?
I mean, I think we'll trot Chris out there first. But, yeah, if the game presents itself, I anticipate Luther getting a chance at 1-2. Depends how many times we make them punt. Don't know.
Anything else for Coach? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.